You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to the Repack, presented by Acme Packing Company. I'm Justice Mosqueda. I'm joined here by Evan Tex Western. Say what's up to people, Tex.
Oh, what's up? Life is pain. We're back. Back for another round.
How do we feel, you know, on the other side of the light? Because the Green Bay Packers, at this point, I'm looking at 538 right now, have a 5% chance of making the playoff. I cannot believe this team tried to trade a first-round pick on Tuesday. If you believe the Jay Glazer report that the Packers were willing to give up a first-round pick for DJ Moore, this team is not good.
No.
Don't really know what they're fighting for. I mean, the Aaron Rodgers press conference after the game, like, LaFleur laughs and he's like, we got 8 games left. What do you mean? Like, what are we fighting for? We got 8 games left. And then Rodgers is like, he took a long pause because they were like, what do you even do at this point? And he's just like, you got to dig deep down inside you and hopefully we can go on a run. You're going to be doubted. I'm sure people have been doubted before in this locker room. And it's like, this team sucks. This team can't score points. Aaron, you went 2 of 9 for 7 yards and 2 interceptions in the red zone. You're going to be doubted. You're going to be doubted a little bit.
They just, like, it. We haven't even talked about the fact that, all right, yeah, they lost 15-9 to the 1-6 Lions, right? Like, and they moved the ball all game long. I kept saying it throughout the entire game. Like, every drive of the Packers in this entire game, except for one drive at the end of the second quarter that was one kneel down to kill the clock, every other drive in this game, they finished in Lions territory. And they came away with 2 scores, 1 touchdown, 1 field goal. They had 3 failed third down or failed fourth downs and 3 turnovers. Like, how can an offense function like relatively moderately well, right, between the 20s, and then just completely trip all over itself every time it gets in the red zone? How does this happen?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
And we talked about this during the Twitter spaces, but, you know, they were passing the ball at the goal line, right? And it was because, you know, they were jamming up the bodies in the box. I think LaFleur and Rodgers both said that, you know, the Lions were getting in there with 6 defensive linemen, which is something, you know, at times the Packers do too. Mm-hmm. So teams are just daring them to throw. They're daring Aaron Rodgers to throw. A guy who signed a contract that will pay him $50 million per year. Basically, at any given point, he can have, you know, a $60 million dead cap during that contract for the Packers to let him leave or have him retire, whatever it is. And they're daring that guy to pass. And it's like, oh, my God. The whole thing about that Aaron Rodgers contract, people are talking about, He needs help. He was supposed to be the help.
Exactly.
He was supposed to be the help. He's getting $50 million per year.
He's supposed to be the one that drives this engine and you know, helps these, you know, no-name receivers and young receivers come along and drive the offense. And when you have, you know, an offense that really is driven through Aaron Jones and then you don't use him and then he gets hurt in the second half and, you know, Rodgers plays the way he did, like he acknowledged in his press conference that he made a bunch of shitty throws. Well, yeah, thanks. It's about time that you start using that type of language with yourself in your own evaluations, because man, he had a bunch of terrible throws today. This feels to me like the final Peyton Manning season at this point. Like it's just not there. And his arm's not as shot as Manning's was for that last year in Denver, but like it's not what it was. That yeah. much we can see.
It's so how does this get better, not just from now, but moving forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they're an RPO-based team and they're getting passes batted down or they're getting these things forced to them, do you got to run more motion? Is that the answer? Is that the difference between the Davante Adams stuff when, you know, Jalen Ramsey's head is spinning, right? And what they're doing right now, is that the difference? Because the arm strength is there. You know, you're right. Yeah. But he's throwing – he's going to throw more interceptions than he's virtually ever thrown this year.
I think Tom Silverstein had a piece right away this afternoon that talks about, like, this clearly can't be the type of offense that Matt LaFleur wants to run. This feels like the Aaron Rodgers offense because they're staying in shotgun. There's not a whole lot of motion. The throwback play to Bakhtiari, like who?
That's embarrassing.
What?
Embarrassing. Even before the result, like
yeah,
you're throwing to a guy who can't stay healthy, man.
Mm-hmm.
He was out in the second half. And then was like, I'm good to go for the 2-minute drill. I have no idea. This guy just can come and go whenever he wants to.
The soap opera continues. Like, I don't know. I don't know that we're ever going to get a good answer as to what the hell's going on with his knee.
I didn't like Rodgers' response after the game either. Did you hear it?
I missed it. No.
He was like, oh, you know, he like got a smirk about the interception. Was like, you know, I overthrew that or I underthrew that. And like David, you know, in our friendship for life, like he's probably never going to let that one go. And I'm like, why are you happy about this?
Oh my God.
Why are you happy about this? We just lost to a 1-win football team with the season on the line. Why are you smiling about David and your friendship? I understand you guys are friends. Now's not the time.
Nobody gives a shit right now, buddy.
Now's not the time.
Oh my God. Oh.
They keep asking Rodgers about Rodgers, and they asked him today if he regrets not retiring. I want LaFleur asked if he regrets giving Rodgers that contract.
Yeah.
Like, 'cause this is, dude, Aaron Rodgers is going to make $60 million cash next year if he decides to come back, which he probably will because he doesn't want to go out like this. So,
yeah. Here's an interesting dilemma in quandary I've been discussing with a couple people this afternoon. If the Packers end up being bad enough for like a top five pick, I think they're sitting at like number eight right now based on where the standings and tiebreakers and stuff are. If they end up in a top five pick, like they have to draft a quarterback, right? That's the only chance that this team has had for a top five pick in almost 20 years. You can make that call before Jordan Love, his fifth year option is one that you have to kick in because they don't have to wait until they don't have to make that decision until after the draft. So like if you're drafting in the top five, figure out which of like Stroud and Caleb Williams and Bryce Young you like and go get him. Like you're never going to have another chance at that. I don't know.
I don't think they're going to because for whatever reason, they think that this team can compete right now, right? I mean, not only did they go into the offseason and were like, yeah, Jaron Reed, we can just play you at defensive end opposite of Dean Lowry. Like, Sammy Watkins, you'll be good enough at wide receiver for us to compete. But at the trade deadline, they tried to trade for all these wide receivers. And that's just crazy to me. You're way further away. I was looking at the Goot draft picks, and I'm not team fire Goot or anything, at least yet. Like, I don't think he's done anything bad. Like, he would have done the things that I would have done, so how can I call for him getting canned?
Right.
But I was looking at the draft picks and it's like there's not that many guys batting above kind of where they've been drafted at the very least. Like, even you look at like Gary, who hopefully is healthy enough to finish out the season, that'd be That's a nightmare. That's a nightmare injury. I don't even want to talk about that just yet. But like Gary was drafted 12th, right? He's a 2-year starter on a rookie deal.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. Did he bat? Like, are they getting a ton of value out of these draft picks? Christian Watson, yeah. They traded 2 second-round picks for him. He's literally on his 5th injury right now of the season. Devontae Wyatt made a play today, and I joked that it was his first snap of the season. They just don't play the guy. Like, there's just not very many cheap contracts where guys are outperforming their draft value. And yeah. That's what builds a championship roster. It's not...
It's all the 4th-round offensive linemen that Ted found, right? It's trading up, getting a guy like Clay at 26 and, you know, getting top 10 value out of him and, you know, having him be a, you know, at least for a good stretch, like a DPOI candidate. It's consistently hitting on your 2nd and 3rd-round wide receiver picks every year, year after year after year. Like, yeah, that's where you make your money as a GM is like you said, it's finding surplus value. And too often this, you know, under Goody, you know, they haven't had a 3rd-round pick that has been anywhere near worthy right. of that status. Like, it's nice that Josiah DeGuara is getting into the game plan a little bit more these last couple of weeks, but that's still a 3rd-round pick that you spent on your like 3rd tight end. So yeah, it's not a great track record, and I'm with you. I'm not ready to pull the ripcord on Goody by any means right now. To say that, you know, the Packers didn't sufficiently plan for being without Davante Adams. Well, yeah, they tried to bring Davante Adams back. That was, you know, a huge portion of this offseason was, you know, trying to get him to come back. So that was the goal going into the offseason was not to not have Davante Adams. But yeah, the eval piece, the draft classes, it's definitely a concern. And like you said, those building blocks just haven't been there on a consistent basis these last 5 years.
Well, I think the team, if they want to, right, they can compete next year in terms of like getting into the playoffs, all that stuff. I'm sure they could figure out something that looks better than this on the offensive side of the ball. I'm not questioning that at all, right?
Yeah.
But I think if they were really honest and took a hard look at it, they would say, our window opens up in 2024. That's the next time, like, if we get under these, if we get out of some of these contracts and stuff, right, and, you know, we can take the cap hit of, like, okay, David's, you know, Bakhtiari is going to be gone, right, in the offseason. Let's just take our medicine right now. I think that's when it opens up. The problem is I still have no idea, and I talked about this with Archon on Intercepted. I have no idea how any of these timelines work out, man.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers is 38 years old. He's about to turn 39. Can you tell him, like, hey, 2024? I don't think he can. So I don't know what you do. Like, at this point, would it be the worst idea to be like, hey, the team isn't built around for success for Aaron Rodgers, at least in the near future. This guy is old. So at least do him right and like send him and get some draft picks back for it.
Yeah.
In the offseason. I know it's going to suck. It's going to be terrible. And like maybe you should have done it a year before, right? I mean, that's what everyone says. You'd rather be a year early than a year late. But we're here now. And it's like, I don't really see a path of how it gets significantly better next year.
Yep.
And I think that's the timeline that Rodgers is at least operating on. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Look at where we are. 3-6. And I know people bring up the close games, and I've been the close games guy. The Packers haven't lost that many close games relative to how many they've won. I mean, they did win in overtime against Bailey Zappi. I think it's like 2-4. So it's like one game of a difference. This team is essentially a 500 team. It's going to be a tough race in the NFC.
And that even feels generous. Like, again, this offense, Paul Noonan did a great thing this week talking about, you know, the way the fourth down failures have affected this team and like the turnovers in the red zone. And it's again, Paul looks like a prophet for the way this game turned out, right? Focusing on, you know, things like, you know, yards per point. You don't want to have to be in the bottom in terms of like the most yards relative to the points that you scored.
They had like almost 400 yards or something today.
389 yards and they scored 9 points.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's insanity. And yet again, and they did that, by the way, against, again, a historically bad defense in Detroit that's, you know, putting up quite literally, you know, historic numbers in terms of DVOA and some of these other EPA numbers and things. So, yeah, for them to just, again, go out and, you know, not even crack double digits against that team. Situationally on offense, they just look completely lost. And then the other one that killed me was in that the very last drive, the last series when everything, you know, kind of goes to hell again in the red zone. The Packers took a timeout right before fourth down because the play clock was running down to zero. And then they come out of the timeout and they have to rush to get the snap off because they don't get to the line until there's 8 seconds left on the play clock. How in the hell does that happen?
They were all discombobulated. I mean, that happened a couple times during the game where the Packers, for whatever reason, the Packers had kind of gotten away with that. I mean, I know we made fun of Aaron Rodgers for taking it down to the one. The pass rushers are just like auto jump, right? They just teleport into the backfield because they're like, if you're going to snap the ball, it's literally on this second. They've gotten away from that like this year, but for whatever reason in this Lions game, it appeared again. It appeared multiple times.
I felt like there were five different plays in this game where the play clock on the screen looked like it hit zero before they snapped the ball. Yeah. They didn't get called for a delay on any of them. They had to call a timeout once or twice on them. But
I mean, even on the timeouts, there were the defensive players. I looked at it a couple times and, you know, Lions corners are like flagging to throw a flag. And they're like, dude, that was like multiple seconds after that. There's a lot of problems with this team. And again, this is why I think it's patently absurd that this team try to trade a first round pick for DJ Moore. That's nuts.
There's no chance that this team is one or probably even two players away from being a contending team. This is not a good football team. End of story.
Yeah. I want to talk about the guys that were rumored to grab or to be in on the conversation with, I guess is the way that they put it. DJ Moore, apparently they were going to give up a first round pick for him. 6 foot, 210 pounds. You know, Darren Waller, who's obviously a tight end. And then Chase Claypool, who's like 230. They're still only looking at big wide receivers.
Big bodies.
All over it. Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, looking at the draft, and everyone's going to want one. Again, the guy's going to be Quinn Johnston.
Mm-hmm.
That's really it in the first round, unless they grab a guy like A.T. Perry. And this is a Packers team that, frankly, there's not enough young talent on the roster right now. This is a team that if they get like the eighth pick in the draft, they should probably trade back and get more picks. But they gave up 2 seconds in this last draft. They drafted two guys in the first round. You'd barely be able to tell. This year, this team is rudderless. I don't know what this team does. The one guy on the offense who can generate yards is Aaron Jones, and his contract is ballooned so large that you have to have a conversation about letting him go or not. Like, how dumb is this team constructed? Like, this team is not ready to compete right now. It's not.
Yeah. Yeah, and we all know that COVID messed with the finances of NFL teams, you know, two years ago. And the Packers are still paying for that as, you know, as they had to kick the can down the line with a bunch of the dead money and void years and all that stuff coming into play, you know, to field viable teams in 2020 and 21. But there are some genuinely puzzling decisions when it comes to some of those contract structures. And you know, and again, we've talked about Bakhtiari and just the timing of his injury, right? If that doesn't happen when it does, you know, literally what, 6 weeks after he signs his giant extension in 2020, like we're, you know, that's a whole different conversation too. But yeah, I mean, you're looking at the Bach deal, the Aaron Jones deal, both being, you know, how do you carry those guys on those cap hits next year? There's, especially with Jones, you absolutely can't. You got to do something. Yeah. And yeah, it's going to be it again. It's tough. Like you said, tough to see how this team is, you know, a viable Super Bowl contender next year.
What would it take for you to trade Rodgers?
Oh boy. I feel like that's not a fair question right now after today's game and after his comments, after this game. The APC Slack is going up right now talking about what a putz he is and like how ridiculous, you know, he's acting right now. But I mean, it's got to be multiple first round picks still, right? Like he's still a recent 2-time MVP. You know, I don't know if I were another team's GM, if I would offer that, but I think you can probably get that for him.
The last year I said three first.
Mm-hmm.
And then, or it was like two firsts and Derek Carr. I think that's like the best that I had come up with. Teams with two first round picks: the Seattle Seahawks, the Detroit Lions, the Houston Texans, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Denver Broncos. I think the only team that would really would Seattle do it?
Oh man, Schneider.
Would Seattle do it?
But the way Geno's playing, I mean, they won again today in Arizona. Like, Geno's playing great ball right now. I don't know. Like, they just were on the other side of that deal. I can't. I would have trouble seeing them turn around and then give up a bunch of picks for Rodgers a year after they got a bunch of picks for Ross.
The other thing Archon and I brought up in the preview of this game was, LaFleur's probably done enough that he doesn't have to stick around for the rebuild. If he wanted to go do TV for a year or two and do the Sean Payton thing, and he gets to pick his own spot at quarterback, like, would you blame him?
Nope.
The cupboard's pretty, but like, I wouldn't blame him. I'd be like, dang, that sucks, but I understand.
I wouldn't blame him for, you know, wanting to go to a place where he could mold a young quarterback in the image that he wants, right?
Yeah.
Rather than having to, you know, deal with a 40-year-old grumpy guy who is just kind of gonna do whatever the hell he wants to do.
Oh man. Oh, all right. Boy. Feels like a good time. Go to break. And then we'll get into vibe checks. I'm sure you could guess how that's gonna go.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's SYLVAN29.com.
And we're back. Okay. The offensive side of the ball. Terrible. I still cannot believe they threw the interception on the David Bakhtiari is eligible play. And the fact that they would make him run a route when he's not healthy enough to play a full fucking football game.
The most hilarious part about that play to me is still the fact that he was open. And yes. If Rodgers actually just, you know, puts his arm into it, and if he doesn't underthrow it by 5 yards, he's got Bakhtiari wide open for that touchdown. So, oh my God, can we split this down into like between the 20s and red zone? Because red zone vibe checks are negative numbers.
Horrific.
Just like negative 10 out of 10.
How did Aaron Jones only have 25 rushing yards today? That's crazy.
I mean, there was a point in the middle of the second quarter where they're like, yeah, Aaron Jones just got his fourth touch of the game. Like, I think he literally had three or four touches in the first quarter of this football game.
AJ Dillon.
And that was with the Packers actually moving the ball and holding on to the ball for a decent amount of time in the first half. I mean, their first drive was a 13 play, 88-yard drive, took 6 minutes off the clock, and in a interception. Next drive, 7 plays, 57, another pick. And then there was the a 12-play, 61-yard drive that ended at the fourth and goal. I'm sorry, that was the fourth and three at, like, the 38-yard line. So, like, they had plenty of opportunity and just for whatever reason didn't seem like they were all that interested in getting Jones worked into the game plan.
And I know they're, like, a man-heavy team and stuff like that. And at the goal line, I understand the goal line stuff. Like, the lines were basically, yeah, like, jacking up the box as much as you can. But you would think you would be able to get Aaron Jones, like, line him up at wide receiver and, like, have him do some end arounds every once in a while. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sure that would work. I just don't get it. Kylan Hill got a touch. Kylan Hill's back. I'm happy for Kylan.
Yep.
One of the bright spots of the game. The other guy who returned was Chris Barnes, who had a weird day, certified weird day. So the game started, and we're talking about defense now, but the game started. Isaiah McDuffie got his first NFL start after he played basically his first game on defense this past weekend, or last weekend. Got a start and then was benched within like three plays. Chris Barnes, who's been on IR for a month, comes in and basically replaces him outside of like a goal line stand, and then he ends up getting hurt himself, and it's like, the heck are we doing? We're playing guys who like aren't even practicing to be starters. Guys, I mean, Chris Barnes was, I think he's been in practice for like 3 days, maybe two.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he just came back on Wednesday. That sounds right. So
Aaron Rodgers didn't know Kylan Hill was activated and was going to play in this game earlier this week, like on a Thursday. It was on Thursday. He got a carry.
Oh my God. Well, the other thing we haven't touched on in this game is the fact that the Packers had seven starters leave the game with injuries at different times. I guess that six or seven, depending on how you see Christian Watson, but Dobbs busts his ankle, was seen on crutches and in a walking boot after the game. Eric Stokes, same situation. Runyon at least came back in the game and, you know, in the second quarter after leaving on the first drive, and he came back and played the rest of the way. Then you've got the Bakhtiari thing where he plays the whole first half, then sits out almost the entire second half until he comes back in for the last drive. Watson probably got concussed again.
Yeah.
At the very least, I mean, he took a big hit and they pulled him to do an evaluation. And then Rashawn Gary and Aaron Jones both going out and not coming back. Just an absolute mess and just a mash unit in this game for the Packers. And the Lions had a couple of rough injuries too that came on during the game. So, man, I don't know if there's something about that turf at Ford Field. This does feel like
they're playing on a rug over rocks and glass. Like, guys are just going down like crazy.
Yeah. I mean, this definitely feels like another data point for the, you know, abolish artificial turf, talking point across the NFL.
I guess the one positive is like the offensive line. They seem to know their pecking order on the offensive line. They're like, yes,
yeah,
Our sixth guy is Zach Tom.
And it doesn't matter what position goes down. Zach Tom is the guy. Yeah.
Anything other than center, basically, at this point, maybe even center, because, you know, Hansen is on injured reserve right now.
Yeah.
It would have been interesting to see if I bet they probably would have put in Newman if, you know, Runyon left for a bit, and then they never crossed over Runyon and Bakhtiari being off of the field
right
at the same time. If they would have, and they had to bring in another guard, I wonder if they would have brought in Newman, which probably would have been.
I would assume that Tom would have been out at left tackle for Bakhtiari, and Newman would have come on at right guard. That seems like the logical approach.
At receiver, so Watkins missed a good amount of time. Dobbs missed basically the whole game, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Lazard and Toure, that was basically the show. I mean, Lazard just throws up the sideline. Can you make a contested catch in man coverage? And then Toure, he had some shots thrown at him. He caught a 25-yarder. He probably could have caught, like, what was it, like a 40-yarder? If that Rodgers was given a better ball.
Yep. Yeah. That well could have been a touchdown if he puts a little more loft on that and gets it to carry a little bit. But instead, yeah, Kirby Joseph made a great play on it. It is interesting though. Like, it keeps seeming like it takes an injury and, you know, late into the game before the Packers actually turn to Toure and start giving him significant snaps. I'm not sure. I mean, just these last two games, I think he's shown at least enough that you should be sprinkling him in a little bit more in the game plan early on in the game. But it seems like, you know, in this one, it was, you know, after Dobbs goes out, after Watson goes out, that was when he finally started getting some playing time and getting a couple targets. I would like to see a little more of him early in games if those guys are healthy. And then again, you know, Dobbs looks like he'll probably be out for a couple weeks at least with that ankle, if not the season. And who knows, again, Watson, you know, if he did get a concussion, that's back-to-back weeks with a concussion. I would imagine if that's the case, you know, he'll be hard pressed to play next week. So, maybe this will be the, you know, Toure's breakout next week against, we'll get into Dallas, that in a second too.
Great Dallas team. God. So yeah, I mean, that would give you Watkins, Lazard, Toure, Amari, and then maybe Randall Cobb at some point. And when did he go on IR? He was on week 7, so he's not eligible to return just yet.
So, well, Juwan Renfrey coming back up, I bet.
Yeah.
Well, now also that means that Toure and Amari are the only two receivers who have not missed significant time with an injury yet this year, because Lazard missed last week. All the other guys have missed time. I mean, Cobb's on IR. Watkins just came off IR. Watson has been in and out the entire season. Yeah. So,
that's what makes it hard. Like,
gosh,
how much chemistry do you even think Christian Watson has with Aaron Rodgers? Rodgers didn't show up in the summer, right? Mm-hmm. Watson had the knee surgery. In season, he's been battling hamstrings and now back-to-back weeks with concussions.
Yep.
So this whole thing is supposed to be built around, like, think of it this way, right? The Packers offseason next year, they don't have a lot of cap space to say, okay, we got to go into the draft, take one big swing at a wide receiver because we already have Dobbs and we have Watson. We need one more guy that we can invest in. But Rodgers is still going to have to lean on Watson and Dobbs while that rookie then goes through the growing pains. I don't even know if he has the chemistry with Watson right now.
Yeah.
He talked about, you know, we have all these plays that are drawn up for Watson. Watson got 0 carries and he got 2 targets in this game. I know he left early, but there was no evidence that they had all these plays that they draw up for him.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting. I think the play that he got hurt on, I think that was his first like significant downfield target with Rodgers at quarterback. Cause that was kind of a nice intermediate crosser for about 18 yards.
Yeah.
I don't think Rodgers has really thrown a pass to him on like a normal route or up to this point in the season, other than the drop on the very first play of the game against Minnesota.
Yeah. So, it's been mostly just like end arounds and like
screen things and flats and stuff. Yeah. So,
man. Oh, brother. All right. Five check offense. It's like a 7 in between the 20s. I think it's still concerning. They can never run and pass. It's always one or the other. The red zone is terrible though. Negative 5,000 in the red zone. I can't believe it. Again, the stats are 2 of 9 for 7 yards, 2 interceptions inside the red zone. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Unbelievable. Again, and looking at some of the stats, right? Packers were 8 of 15 on third down. Maybe their best third down performance of the year. Again, 389 total yards, and then 0 for 4 in the red zone, 0 for 2 on goal to go, 2 picks, 0 for 3 on fourth down. Just again, situational offense is such a challenge for this team.
Let's go to the defensive side. The biggest thing I want to talk about, Gary.
Yeah.
If Gary's out, and there were, when I say Twitter doctors, I'm sure people know what I mean, right? It's like actual people who have degrees who, for some reason, the fantasy football world has demanded that they start analyzing NFL injuries based off of video, right? That's what I mean by Twitter doctors. The Twitter doctors are coming out and saying Gary could have a season-ending injury based off, it was a non-contact injury. It was his knee. He pulled it up to his chest and started grabbing it almost immediately. If that's the case, this defense is going to take significant steps backwards.
Yep.
That's the only guy who can get any sort of pressure consistently in, you know, one-on-one situations. And the whole Packers defense is basically built to get you into one-on-ones. Like, it's built so that Gary can get pressure. When that guy is going to become J.J. Anagbare or Jonathan Garvin, who's had some terrible reps today. He's back in the lineup after being a healthy scratch for back-to-back weeks. That guy might be a starter now, right?
Yeah.
That guy was a healthy scratch for back-to-back weeks. He might be a down-to-down starter as a pass rusher in the spot that you put your best player in, basically. If Gary is out, this team is going to get a lot worse on the defensive side.
Yeah, that there's not much more to add there. That pretty much, that sums it up because nobody else has been able to consistently get pressure. Preston Smith is still a decent player, but you know he's making his money setting the edge against the run. Yeah. He's not doing it chasing down the quarterback.
And Kenny, it's been a quiet month for Kenny.
Yeah.
I don't know what's been happening there. I need to dig into that more. But Reed, know, Lowry, these guys aren't getting pressure at all. I mean, Jared Goff had that play at the goal line. I can't remember if it was third or fourth down. And the Packers sent 5. And Goff is just back there patting the ball because they sent Gary on a stunt. So it takes him a little bit longer to get to him. And it's like, okay, so you're putting it on Lowry, Reed, and Preston Smith to be the guys who get after the quarterback and are like the timer set for the pocket. And Goff's just back there patting the ball. He gets to his third read and throws a touchdown. And it's like, these guys aren't good enough.
No.
A lot of these guys are not good enough.
Yeah. Well, and you saw the first drive when they brought 6 on fourth and goal from, or fourth and one, whatever. And that freed up Gary for basically coming unblocked off the edge because they had one more rusher than they could account for. And he got there on a straight line and affected the throw and forced an incomplete pass. So certainly nobody else has that type of explosiveness off the line and closing ability on the quarterback. So it's going to be a real challenge to see if this team can find a way to scheme up pressure in a way that they haven't really had to as much because Gary can do so much of it one-on-one on his own.
Yeah. And it's going to be hard on the fly doing that against this Cowboys team that's playing really good. That's a very good football team. I don't know if – have we played a team – I guess we played the Bills. I was going to say, have we played a team that good this season? And I think the Bills is the only answer.
Yeah.
And I think – the Cowboys defense is right up there with them. So,
yeah.
Well, yeah. I kind of feel like this defense is ready for a little bit of an implosion. We have the Jaire Alexander late hit, and he's like waving at the crowd and is like, get louder.
That
Savage was still can't make a tackle. Stokes is hurt. inside linebacker's a mess right now. I mean, it's like Devondre didn't practice all week, but like McDuffie's too small. Barnes is now banged up. Like he's got to come back for a meaningless game. He has to come back.
Yep.
Like, great. Awesome. Oh man. Defense. Yeah. I'm going to give, they were playing good for, or holding together, I should say, mm-hmm. for most of the game. I don't know, like a 6. They still are frustrating in some of the worst ways, where it's like 3rd and 2, and it's like your corners are off 5 yards, and just stuff like that, where it's like, all right, do we know what the sticks are? Someone on the sideline, they do this in college ball, right? They hold up the number of like how many yards there are to go on the play, or they like put up like the money sign when it's like 3rd down.
Yeah.
Do we need to do that with I'll do it. I'll do it for free if it's going to help. But do we need to do that? Because these guys to like not know like where on the field that they are.
The other crazy thing to me too is like just undisciplined penalties. Again, you know, you mentioned the Jair one. What was the penalty that gave Detroit, I think it was on their touchdown, their second touchdown drive. They had a 2nd and 20, and Packers took a penalty in the secondary or something that gave them a free first down after being on like 2nd or 3rd and long. And and you could feel right. Like as soon as that happened, cause they had them backed up in their own territory, Detroit took a holding penalty to send it back at like 2nd and 20. And you just felt like when they gave them that first down off the penalty, it was one of those, I think I even said something in Slack, like, oh, here comes the long sustained touchdown drive now that they got that first down. And yeah, that was when they went down and scored their second time in the game. So, the frustrating, you know, sustained drives that, you know, they give up over 50% to Detroit on 3rd downs again in this game.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they don't get the big play or they don't get a penalty on the offense to set them back in a bad down and distance, that you can just count on them giving up the long sustained drive and giving up a couple of 3rd downs and, you know, letting a team into the end zone.
I think the funniest moment and probably best encapsulates the Packers team this year was Rodgers standing up. They kept cutting to Rodgers on the actual last Lions drive, right? And he's standing up. And then the Lions convert their first 3rd down. And then you see him sit down on the bench. And he's like, they're going to be out here for a while. And that's how it feels. It's like if you can get the ball rolling and you can get them on the field after that first 3rd down, it's like, okay, you can do whatever you want to this team until the 20-yard line, and then maybe it changes up a little bit, but you can push the ball down the field in a field goal range at the very least. So just a bummer. I don't think I've been thinking about this more and more, and like, would we, cause the Raiders aren't very good either right now.
Yeah. If
you haven't been keeping up with the NFL, would this actually be better with Devontae? And I don't think it fixes like the structural things on the offensive side. Obviously you get a better wide receiver, which definitely helps. Then I like start doing the math on like Devondre Campbell contract and the Russell Douglas contract, cause they're probably gone if he comes back. I don't think they're really the problem though.
Yeah.
Like that's what I keep going back to. I'm like, Russell's not the problem.
No.
Like Devondre had a terrible start to the season, but I think he's been playing a little better recently.
Agreed.
I don't think he's the problem. And it's like, what do we need? And it's like, we need defensive linemen, a safety, probably a couple receivers, and then maybe someone to replace Aaron Jones. Oh, also Robert Tonyan's going to be a free agent. And it's like, that's a lot. I don't think that you can fix that in one offseason. I really don't.
No, and not when you don't have any money to spend.
Yeah.
So, the only silver lining is that it certainly seems like the Packers are going to have some pretty high draft picks in 2023.
Someone said that it's we have potential for our first top five pick since Tony Mandarich. Like,
wasn't AJ Hawk? Wasn't AJ Hawk a number five?
I think Hawk was sixth. I think he might have been sixth.
Okay,
I think he was sixth. But yeah, that is a pretty.
No, Hawk was fifth overall. But
was he?
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, but regardless, like, that's still painful. That gets back at what I was saying earlier, right? Like, this team doesn't draft. They haven't drafted in the top 10 even since it was BJ Raji in 2009. So they've had, you know, two picks in the top 10 since Tony Mandarich in 33 years of football. So that's why I'm thinking, like, if they end up at top five, like, you're never going to get a better chance to take your swing at a quarterback. And I understand that, you know, if Rodgers is going to be coming back, that's going to make things awkward for a little while. But I don't know. I
think if that happens, Rodgers is asking for a trade immediately, right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean,
I understand. I get it. Yeah. At this point, if that's the other thing, is like, I'm coming to peace with a lot of these things, right? Like the LaFleur, like LaFleur post Rodgers. Does he want to stick around? If you don't, I get it. I understand. Mm-hmm. If Rodgers today was like, hey, let's do the farewell tour. I'm not going to be in Green Bay for long. Just don't feel like we just don't feel like our timelines match up well.
Yeah.
I feel like we'd be like, okay, let's try to win a couple ball games.
Right.
Without, I mean, if you can get a couple, I mean, it might take, I don't want to talk too much about this quarterback class because people get very heated when you give out quarterback evaluations. Stroud, I don't think he's that good.
Yeah.
There's something missing with him. He reminds me a lot of like Goff, Kirk Cousins, like that level of quarterback. I think the guy is Bryce Young. But if Bryce Young is going number one, I do wonder, like, the Packers are going to have a pick. What can they get for Rodgers? Could they package up and get Bryce Young? That would be fun. Yeah. At least we would have something tied up into the future. Because, again, I don't think it's Love. I think the Love dream has been given up on a couple years ago. I don't know. It's gonna be a weird year.
Yeah, it's already been a weird year, and we're only halfway through, man.
Yeah.
Eight more of these to go.
It's crazy we're only halfway through, and it's like, who do you think the highest-ranking person that Packers fans don't want to get rid of is? Because, like, Murphy's been catching hell forever. Yeah. Maybe it's LaFleur. People want Goode out. People want Joe Barry out. People are saying Stano's going to be one and done offensive coordinator, even though LaFleur is calling plays.
It feels like LaFleur is maybe the one at that, like, coordinator level or above who, you know, people aren't calling for his head just yet, at least not significantly.
I mean, got a whole half a year left. We'll get injury reports up on Monday. Hopefully they give us something. A lot of times they end up just saying, like, I'll give you an update on Wednesday, which would kind of suck with this many injuries, especially that now that we know, like, half of the team is on crutches and the other half is in a walking boot. I mean, those are going to be huge. Those are going to be huge for the rest of the year. If Rashawn Gary can't go this year, and if he has an ACL tear, I mean, we've seen it. Like,
oh my god,
that could cost him the first.
Don't even put that on the season. Don't put that out in the universe, man. I can't handle that.
I know.
Oh,
it could be ugly. It could be ugly real quick. Keep it tuned to the feed. I'm sure we're gonna have. I'm excited to listen to RAE this week.
Oh, Paul should be taking some victory laps on. Like I said, his fourth down and his like red zone turnover analysis from this last week, because that, like I said, that very much came true and illustrated his points this afternoon. Man,
you never want Aaron Rodgers being your leading rusher. Also, by the way, I threw a couple picks. That's how his press conference went. It was very
funny. that was an interesting, fun way to phrase it, buddy. God.
Oh man. All right. Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go. And everybody who's listening, make sure This is what coming out Monday. Make sure you get your butts out there and vote on Tuesday. As a person who works the polls, just want to get that out there in the universe. So get out there, get your votes in, do your thing. And yeah, with that, I'll leave you with a Go Pack Go.
First thing in the morning, as soon as you wake up, the to-do list starts.
Does the car need gas? Hopefully those leftovers are still good.
Why did I get CC'd on my email?
No.
You can't escape the to-do list, but you can make the most of your me time with a relaxing shower using Method hair care products. Try Pure Peace Volumizing, Simply Nourish Moisturizing, or Daily Zen Shampoo and Conditioner for daily use. All formulated with long-lasting fragrances and are safe for color-treated hair. Reconnect with the best version of yourself. Visit methodproducts.com to unleash your inner shower.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.